What's up, everybody? How are you doing today? I hope you guys are doing great out there. This is Friday. Oh my goodness. You know I love Fridays because we have podcasts. New episode Behind the Languages back. How y'all doing? This is me, teacher Rodrigo Norato, and I am not sick anymore. Yay! Oh yeah, I'm not sick. You know, I had been sick, right, for what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I don't know, almost a month, right? You know, when I recorded the last episode, episode number 34, I was still sick. And if you listen to the episode number 33, I was sick too. But now, episode 35, and I'm not sick. By the way, if you haven't listened to the other episodes, you should, because they are good. They're the bomb. You should go there and check it out right now. By the way, if you don't follow me on Instagram, boy, girl, y'all are missing out the very good content I've been creating. So just go there right now, Instagram at teacher.rodrigonorato, and also at English in Brazil. You should follow us because we come up with the best content in the country. And I can tell you and assure you of that. Sound good? So just go there right now. Follow us. It's going to be awesome to have you around. Well, so it's time to get down to business. And you know, in this episode, we will talk about the fact that when you do something that you love, you do it better. Come on. We all know that. When you love doing something, you do it better. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I loved to play soccer. I was a good player, man, but I hated basketball because, you know, I've always been a terrible player. But when you love something, you tend to do it better. Does that make sense? Well, with English, it's not going to be different. If you love English, and by love, I mean your decision to like it, your decision to love it. If you decide to love English, it's going to be very, very good for you. If playing soccer was so good and you loved it and you did it very well with English, it's not going to be different. So how can we learn English and have a much better time while learning it? While, you know, learning that specific grammar topic, while learning that specific aspect of pronunciation, you know, while learning new vocabulary. Know what I'm saying? So this is what I've learned about learning, and that has made a difference in my life. Every time I connect things that I learn with things that I already love, I start liking it more, and it's easier for me to learn it. Well, we're going to talk about this because I haven't started talking about this. You know, some people came way before me to talk about it, and this is what we're about to see. Many students I have taught tell me they don't like English. This is an issue. You know, I don't know. If you are listening to this and you're a teacher, is it like this, you know, in your classes too? Like students walking up to you and just go like this, "Teacher, well, I don't really like English. I prefer Spanish or French, but I have to learn it, so that's why I'm here." Or, you know, they do it just because their parents obligated them to be there. You know, while some others might tell you something different, they might just say, "Well, teacher, you know, I study English because of my job, because I'm going to get a promotion, because I'll have a better opportunity, because, you know, they're trying to go to a college abroad. They are trying to pass a specific test." You know, they will tell you so many things, but it's always a mandatory thing. A mandatory thing, I mean something that's obligated, something that's a demand. "Well, teacher, I study English because I have to." Are you one of those? By the way, do you like English? Do you study it because you are obligated to? Are you listening to this podcast episode right now because you want to be here or because you have to? You know, It's something like that. You know what I'm saying? So if you're listening to this podcast because you have to, maybe you're going to be listening to me and just go like this. Oh, man, this teacher, man, this episode is fucked up. I really don't like this shit. But if you're here because you have chosen to be here, maybe you're going to be like this. Man, this is an interesting topic. I never thought about this. Wow. So we were talking about, you know, something that if I like it, I'm going to do it better. Oh, that's why I speak English so well, because, you know, I really love having conversations with my friends in English. Wow, cool. You know what I'm saying? So if you're obligated by your teachers to listen to this audio right now, to this episode right now, maybe you're going to be like this. Hey, you know, some of your friends walk up to you right now and say, hey, man, what are you doing right now? I say, I'm listening to a podcast my stupid teacher made me. Oh, man, this is so real. All right. So I also have another question. Have you ever heard about the effective domain? Yeah, there is a name for it. Everything that we're talking about right here is not something I invented. Whew, sadly, because if I had invented that, I would be so rich right now. I would be sitting on a yacht right now in the Bahamas with my friends and with my beautiful fiance. But this is not reality. I haven't invented. I have just studied that, read about it, lectured about it, and taught courses about it, delivered a lot of content about the topic of effective domain. Well, for those who don't know, the effective domain includes factors such as, student motivation, you know, student attitudes, their perceptions, and also their values. Save that word. Values. Values are the things that are valuable for us. It could be anything but values, okay? Teachers in general can increase their effectiveness, you know, as a teacher by considering the effective domain in planning courses, delivering lectures, delivering activities, and also assessing student learning. To the students, if you're a student, make sure that you motivate yourself. Motivation is amazing as a booster shot. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be amazing for you to start up something. But motivation will not be high at all times. Discipline will be more important in this process. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very motivated every morning. But if I don't have the discipline to do things, I just don't come around and do it. Like, I know that every 15 days, I have to record a podcast. I have to come around here and talk to y'all. But, oh man, I didn't wake up like motivated. But I have the discipline to do it. I have to be here and just do it. You know what I'm saying? Attitudes. You know, attitudes are how you react to things around you. What are your attitudes towards things that happen around you? Perceptions, how you see things, how you analyze things and people around you and situations around you, and your values. What is important for you? What is good for you? You know what I'm saying? So to teachers out there, make sure you are not the center of your classes. The students are the center of your classes. So for you to increase the effectiveness of your classes, you should consider your students. You know what I'm saying? You should plan your courses not based on yourself, but based on what the students need, what the students want, what the students like, and where you want to take them, you know, to take those students to, right? So if they are down here, you have to take them up there. You have to take that into consideration as well. So a little bit more about the effective domain. You know, effective refers to those actions that result from and are influenced by emotions. Save that. Values, emotions. Well, consequently, the effective domain relates to emotions, attitudes, appreciations, and values. So we already know some of those words in here, right? So I want you to save these words: values, emotions, appreciations, and affective. Okay? So it is highly personal to learning. So think about it. I love music. You know, I love hip hop. I grew up listening to American hip hop. And then when my teacher played the Beatles, that was weird to my ears. I'm not saying the Beatles are not good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that was not familiar to me. So my brain was just like this, that sounds weird. I don't want to listen to that. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's personal. So my teacher forced Beatles down my throat. He said, oh, no, you have to listen to this. I said, but I don't want it. I don't like it. And then instead of bringing me, you know, closer to him, he actually pushed me away because he didn't know the effective learning is so important, unfortunately. So, as I said before, it's highly personal to learning, and it's demonstrated by behaviors indicating attitudes of interest, attention, concern, and responsibility. So, it is very important. But teacher, I've seen you know, talking about all of that, man. What does that really mean? Well, it means that if you connect your learning process to things you love, learning will be easier. And if you connect your emotions to what you are learning, what you've learned will never be forgotten. Let me repeat this. Well, that means that if you connect your learning process to the things you love, learning will be easier. And if you connect your emotions to what you are learning, what you've learned will never be forgotten. Does that make sense? So, think about the most fun moments you've had in school. Let's talk about school in here. Maybe it was in kindergarten, you know, and you still remember the songs y'all used to sing. I remember when I was a kid, we used to sing songs that I never forgot, like Meu lanchinho, meu lanchinho, vou comer, pra ficar fortinho e crescer. You know, this is something that I used to sing when I was 5 years old, when I was 4 years old. Why do I still remember 33, 34 years later? Because that was so effective. That was a very nice moment in kindergarten. Things that you don't forget. You know, it's going to be stuck in your mind for the rest of your life. You know, what you have learned will never be forgotten if you connect to your emotions. I used to love my teacher in kindergarten. And she sang that song. I learned how to sing it. And I loved my teacher. I loved that moment. It will never be forgotten. Maybe your best moments, your most fun moments were in elementary school. I don't know. When you learn how to read, for example, you had your first favorite book. I remember my first favorite book was called O Barquinho Amarelo. That was my favorite book back in the day. I was about, I don't know, 7 years old or 8 years old. You know, I had just learned how to read and I read the whole book. I was so proud of myself. I said, Mom, I have read a whole book. I never forgot that. And I still remember a couple sentences from that book. I was seven. Maybe the most fun moments you've had was in high school, you know, when you had an awesome teacher who helped you decide what you would be doing in college. This happened to me. I've had amazing teachers, and one of these teachers helped me decide that I wanted to be a teacher because he was so good and I loved the classes so much. He helped me decide and he showed me exactly what I could become. You know, he could see me through. He could just look at me and say, Rodrigo, man, you're going to be a great teacher, man, because you know how to deal with the people, you like what you're doing, and you're patient, and you know how to explain things that for a lot of people is just so complicated. And here I am, you know, 20 years. This is crazy. Maybe your fun moments were in college with that professor who taught you the thing that changed the course of your career. For example, I had a professor in my college. Her name is Arabia Hermon. She was the one here at PUC Minas who taught me phonetics and phonology. She was the one who taught me the phonetic symbols. Today, I have a pronunciation course with Karina called Pronunciation Masters. And I have applied so many things that I learned in college. And that is something that I never forgot. You know what I'm saying? So that changed the course of my career. Maybe your fun moments, not only in school, but you know, your fun moments were with your personal trainer teaching you how to do, you know, a certain movement, you know, a certain exercise. Maybe that was with your mom, with your wife, your husband, you know, that crazy cousin you have. You know, we all have been affected by someone in a very positive way. This happens to everybody. But we also have been affected, you know, we have been affected by someone negatively. This happens to everybody, and guess what? You still remember them both. Affirmative, you know, the positive things and negative things. That's because what is connected to our emotions will stick with you for a long time, if not forever. So, negative things that happened to us. For example, when I was 13 years old, almost 13, I lost my father. You know, my father died. And now, 24 years later, I still remember every detail of that day. February the 4th, 1999, my father was in hospital. I woke up, I went there to visit him. I came back home, and then I prepared myself to go to school. And then after that, after 2 hours that I was in school, somebody called the school, you know, for my family, saying that I had to come home because my father had passed. I walked back home, and on the way, I came across a couple of my father's friends who were crying, saying that, you know, he loved my dad and stuff, and I couldn't really understand what was going on. But you know what I'm saying? So I remember every single detail, and I remember the lunch we had. I remember, you know, everything. And it was a very negative moment for me, but it's so connected to my emotions that I still remember. But I also remember in 2007, that was March 2007, when I received the greatest news of my life, saying that I had passed the test that I was doing, you know, so I was going through a training at the YMCA, and I had passed the test. And I would be traveling to the United States. I would be traveling to Houston, Texas. And I remember all of my friends going upstairs. We're blindfolded. We sat on the ground. And then they were reading the names of the camps. And they were reading. They were playing around with the songs. And, you know, my nickname is Dog. So people are just like this. And this person here is going to a camp. Well, this camp is called A. Lee Family YMCA. You know, it's a place where, you know, predominantly there are more black people. And I know this guy loves black culture. And this is where he's going to be working and living for the next 4 months. And you know this person? Who let the dogs out? And I remember that. I remember crying and stuff. Oh my God, such a positive memory affected by emotions will never be forgotten. So I've got some tips here for you who are learning English. Tip number one, connect your English learning to the things you love the most. I mean, series, songs, your favorite bands, the video games you play, the movies you like to watch. You know, use these things to learn English because you're going to be watching things you love. You're going to be listening to songs you love. You're going to be reading about your favorite bands. You're going to be playing the video games that you love. So read the stories. You know, I remember playing Super Mario World. Super Mario World was definitely my favorite game when I was a kid. And there were so many texts in English. Nowadays, we can read them. So play that video game again. Read the text. Learn new vocabulary. Know what I'm saying? Tip number two. Grammar should be learned in your personal context. So whenever you learn something regarding grammar, talk about your life using real sentences about your own experiences and stories. Okay? For example, let's say that you learned the second conditional. Second conditional is an unreal conditional. It's all about your imagination. So you would imagine something regarding your life. Man, I have a sister. Her name is Fernanda. If she gave me $100, I would buy my mom, you know, nice pair of shoes. This is real. If my sister, I have a sister, if she gave me $100, this is my mom's birthday coming up, so I would give her a nice pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get married soon. She needs a nice pair of shoes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm creating a sentence using that structure that I've just learned, but in real context. It's amazing. Do it. You're going to learn so much about grammar in a very natural way, okay? And last but not least, do it daily. If you're in the learning process, do it daily. But make sure it is a special moment. You know, don't do it just in the automatic habit mode. You know, I just do it because I have to, and this is something that I do every day from 6 to 7. I'll be studying. I mean, don't do that like that. You know, make that moment of learning a special moment for your brain to understand that it's fun now. You know, it's related to something fun for you. It's related to something that's going to be connected to your emotions, connected to your values, connected to the things that make you perceive the world in a very nice way. You'll never forget what you've learned. Does that make sense? If you want to know more about the effective domain and the effective filters as well, I suggest you read David Krathwohl and also Stephen Krashen, respectively, okay? So David Krathwohl talks about the effective domain. In the 50s, he was talking about that. And Stephen Krashen talks about the effective filter. So just go there and read it, okay? Sound good? So apparently, we're coming to the end of another episode of Behind the Language, your dose of English and culture. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at teacher.rodrigonorato and also at English and Brazil. I'm Rodrigo Norato from English and Brazil. Thank you very much for being here with me. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.